Welcome to a Movie A Day podcast with your host, Timmy Zoom. Today, I have two movies. They're connected by the actress, trying to remember her name. Duna Bay. The actress Duna Bay. It's something. I have a whole bunch of movies I got to review, so I'm trying to find some connection between these movies. And the actress Duna Bay is in a movie called The Host. She also is one of the co-stars of a movie called Cloud Atlas that's coming out this Friday as I post this. Hold up. Okay, somebody's playing loud music outside. I hate motherfuckers. I want to move to the country like white people in the rural area, where people are not driving by with blasting their music loud. I can't fucking stand that. Fuck your music. Okay, you don't need to be listening to it that loud. But I may have, the constellation, just like people who smoke in front of buildings and stuff, is the fact that they're breathing in. I mean, we're still breathing in the carcinogenic smoke, but they're really breathing it in. I mean, they're getting a bigger hit of it than we are. And the people who are listening to their stereo's loud, if it's loud to us, and I'm like 50 to 100 feet away from that car, they're probably going to go deaf. Hopefully. Anyway, the movie is called The Host, 2006. It's a movie I've been wanting to watch for a while, and it's part of the of like hundreds and hundreds of movies that my friend gave me in what you call those things where you keep CDs and DVDs, the bags or the whatever you call it. They have the little compartments where you put the DVDs in there, or you could put the CDs in there. Yeah, he gave me five of those filled up with DVDs. One of them was The Host. Oh, they did that. You don't get nothing for free, kids, though. He didn't give it to me. I helped them. I helped them move. Okay, so he gave me that. And it, plus, he's got everything on digital now, which is the way to go. He doesn't have shelves and shelves of DVDs. Instead, he has a shelf full of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle books and, and memorabilia. And one of them has got my old Venom figure that I got from the 1990s. It was like a 12-inch Venom that talks. But anyway, he doesn't have to worry about movies clogging up his house. And he gave me all his old movies. The Host is a horror sci-fi thriller from I think Korea. Seoul. Is Seoul in Korea? Anyway, it starts out good. It's a horror movie about a monster, a sea monster that attacks people. And of course, the sea monster is created by radioactive waste or toxic waste, just like Godzilla. And that's a message that they could have fucking chilled on. Because they were trying to... Let me just go through the story. It's about a monster that attacks people, kills a bunch of people, and it takes a girl from a family in its initial attack. And the girl, the family is grieving over the girl. Plus, they've been quarantined with a bunch of people. Everybody who is kind of near the monster was quarantined because they believe there's a virus. Virus caused by this toxic waste. When you get into contact with the creature, you could be sick. So they're in quarantine. And they find out, hey, the daughter might still be alive. So they have to escape the quarantine and go find her. And it's a family of, I shouldn't say misfits. It's a father and his three kids. And one of the kids is not a kid. He's a grown-ass man. Look like he's in his 40s. And his daughter is the one who was taken. And his brother and sister are younger, in their 20s. And they look like they got their shit together more than he does. And they all get together as a family to go find the girl. This movie started off awesomely. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, and for me, an 11. Fast-paced. First of all, it introduced you to the characters. You liked them. It's like, motherfucker, because the father is a fucking misfit. The father of the, not the grandfather, but the father of the daughter. He's a misfit. But his father loves him all the same. His father owns like one of those food trucks, and they're by the Han River, which is has a nice park over there. There's a lot of people over there, and the monster comes about the river and fucks things up. The movie starts out fantastically, but and then as it goes on, as we introduce to more the other characters, the other main characters in the thing, it continues to do good. The good characters, good comedy. It's just awesome. Awesome. But then the, and I don't know if it's fair to call it, I'm going to call it the Hollywood effect, because this movie, it looks good. This movie looks like a Hollywood movie. It's just like Japan and all the other ones who have big budget, great movies. They suffer from the Hollywood effect. Meaning the movie, instead of being the length that it should be, they make it much longer than it should be. This movie should be 70 to 80 minutes long. And everything that happened in it, most of the things, the key things that happened in it, the important good shit that happened in it, could stay right in there at an hour and a half at the longest. At the very longest, an hour and 40 minutes. But no, I think an hour and a half. But they stretch it out that 2 hours because they want to be fucking majestic like a Hollywood films. When Hollywood films run too long, they suck. Like Transformers, which, yes, that's a bad movie. And if you made it 70 minutes, it would be a bad movie. But it would be a better bad movie. Meaning it would be a very cool, so bad it's good movie. Or a movie that's just like, oh, this movie is just revels in its shit. But it knows when to... It packs in the good shit and it knows when to stop. But no, Transformers doesn't know when to stop. The Michael Bay Transformers doesn't know when to stop. Hollywood doesn't know when to stop. The Host doesn't know when to stop. When you got a great movie like you want to see a Batman movie or even the Avengers. Well, I'm gonna put the Avengers aside. But most of the Batman movies and all the superhero movies and all the big budget movies with big stars like 2012 and all those types of blockbuster, they run too long. And The Host is another victim of that. It would be a great movie. It would be a fantastic movie if it was an hour and a half. And I'm just going to give you the one example of why this movie is too fucking long. The daughter... It's not the daughter, because there was two daughters in here. Not the young daughter who is stolen, but her aunt, which is, you know, one of the siblings, one of the three siblings, played by Duna Bay. She's an archer, okay? She's an archer. And her thing is where she waits too late to... She's a great archer, but she's not sure of herself at the crux moment. And that's her weakness. And the monster's coming at her. She puts the arrow in there, pointing it at the creature. And it knocks the shit out of her. But it just runs past her and just knocks her to the side. And she falls into a grate or a ditch that is about 10 feet, you know, 10 feet down. You can get hurt from that. But in a movie, you know, when a character is knocked over, 10 feet, they're not going to die, they're not hurt, they're not grievously injured, so you know she's going to get up to fight another day. And plus, she didn't get to shoot her arrow off, she didn't get the chance to prove herself as a great archer in this movie, so you know she's not dead. So she gets knocked over and knocked out. The movie doesn't come back to her to 20 minutes later in the movie's time. That's 8 hours later. A lot of shit has happened in between then. When they finally come back to her 20 minutes later, she's getting about the grate. That's fucking ridiculous. It don't take her fucking 8 hours. She's not going to be in that fucking hole for knocked out for fucking 8 hours falling because she fell 10 or 15 feet. Fuck that. Fuck that shit. You know you're not going to kill her. You didn't break any bone. If you fall down a grate and you're knocked out for 8 to 10 hours, that means you got other things going on. You got internal bleeding, broken bones, everything else. But she didn't. She didn't get hurt that badly, so she should have been able to get up and go. In other words, the movie writer said, no, we got to stretch this out for as long as we can. We're going to fill this up is 20 minutes with some bullshit. We're going to fill up more, because that's still an hour and 40 minutes into the movie. They still got another 20 minutes to go. There's no need for it. Okay, but there's a whole bunch of positives to this movie. That's the negative. Because I'm gonna recommend you go see it, or that you rent it if you want to see Host. Watch the Host, rent the Host. It's a very good movie. But damn, I hate when it just stretch you out to your last little bit. It's like, man, you could have ended the movie at 90 minutes and got to the fucking point. And with that, you fall in love with these characters, and they was talking about tragedy, and you know, they was talking about it leaves you with a tragic feeling at the end, and yes, it does. There's some missing pieces at the end, and that's why it's a good film. It has to be a good film, but it could have been a great film. It's 3.5 stars. Could have been 5 stars. Could have been 5 stars. Next movie. Piece of shit. Okay, I'm overreacting. It's probably not a piece of shit totally, but in my mind, I don't give a fuck about it. It's just average. Because when a movie like this, that is called Cloud Atlas, that's the name of it. It's got Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Duna Bay, who was in The Host, Jim Broadbent, Hugo Weaving, Keith David, Hugh Grant. Lots and lots of stars in this motherfucker. Whatchamacallit is in there too. Who's Tim Robbins' wife? Tim Robbins isn't in it, but his ex-wife is in it. Forgot her name. So all these motherfuckers is in it. It's written for the screen by the Wachowski siblings. It's and Tom Twyker. It's directed by all those three also. It's just a movie about several people. I don't know how many. I lost count. 7, 8, 9 stories. Maybe it's probably, I think it's 6 stories from all different times, from the 19th. I mean, it's like the 18th century, 19th century, 20th century, 21st century, 24th century. 6 stories. They're all connected because many of the main characters have tattoos. I think one main character from these stories have these tattoos that are identical, that shows they're a special person in the world. And it's been a while since I've seen this movie, like 2 months, 2 or 3 months, maybe more. And it's just a bunch of stories. One is about a gay couple back in the 1800s or something, or the early 20th century in England. And you know, they can't be seen. One is a aristocrat, and the other one is like a con man who cons other people, but he doesn't want to con his boyfriend. And it's a story about him and how he is trying to rip an old man off. He's trying to seduce an old man to get money or get fame, and it backfires. Then there's a story of, what else is the story? Oh, there's a story that go back farther than that in the 1800s. A story about slaves and a rich guy and some slaves, and a rich guy travels with the slave. travels with a black slave on a ship. And I forgot the thing of that story, but basically it's just a story of colonial times. And I forgot it was something about the rich guy's father thinks black people are niggers who ain't worth shit. But the rich guy himself, he sees black people. He sees they're good. And there's something more to that story, but I don't give a fuck. And I just want to name the story so you know that. Oh, there's another story that reminds me of that Mel Gibson movie. It takes place in the future, but it's like, I can't remember that fucking Mel Gibson movie. Like Apocalypso or something like that. Remember Apocalypso? It's just about Tom Hanks lives. He's part of a tribe in the future of an apocalyptic Earth, and Halle Berry is like some woman who's on a starship like Star Trek, but they don't show the ship. They just have her beam down, and she has to find this city, and Tom Hanks has to help her go through the barbaric wasteland to find the secret. And then that's in the far future. Then there's another futuristic story that takes place in a Blade Runner world. And that has Duna Bay. Duna Bay's in a couple of stories. And she's an A every and you know what? In her story, her and a whole bunch of Asian women are like these servant women, these servant whores, or I don't know if they're whores. I think they serve people. They're like clones who are bred to serve man. And in there, Hugh Grant plays their boss, and there's another guy who comes to rescue Duna Bay and help rebel. Use the clones to rebel against the society who wants to keep everybody down. Now, for some reason, Hugh Grant, who's white, his eyes look funny in this, the way the makeup is. And the white guy, the other white guy who's the hero of society, who comes to rescue Duna Bay, and they're going to be rebels together. His eyes look funny too. And I realized they're supposed to be fucking Asian. And they don't look fucking Asian. They don't make their eyes, they don't make them look Asian because that would be racist. But they did something to their eyes to make them seem like they're in an Asian city. I just realized that just now. And fuck them. Fuck that. There's another story of the best story, which is an old man, Jim Broadbent, who's a writer. No, he's an agent, a writer's agent. And it's about him being... It's basically as One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, except he's putting in an old folks home instead of a mental hospital. And it's a more lighter version of that. It's just, so imagine a BBC story about this eccentric old man and his adventures in the nursing home, trying to escape the nursing home. Another story about slavery in colonial times. Another story about a con man in England. And... all these stories are very generic, and there's one more story about Halle Berry playing a woman in the 70s she's an investigative reporter trying to shut. Basically, it's Silkwood. So imagine a whole bunch of different stories, like say Silkwood, an episode of Star Trek, an episode of Downton Abbey that's not as good as Downton Abbey. And there you have it. They just put a bunch of episodes of television together in one show, and they're supposed to be connected all by these tattoo people, but there's no really connection other than that they have a tattoo. And in other words, it's supposed to be deeper. If you see the previews for this, you hear Tom Hanks saying some very generic statements, and it's like, oh, where'd you get this? Off of those pictures, you know, those pictures that used to be in offices that have a picture of this ocean and a saying, a very trite saying, or the stuff that you read out of Chicken Soup for the Soul back in the 90s. Yeah, basically that's what this is. And all that shit is being parodied nowadays. Okay, that's what this movie is, a big stupid Hallmark card. Nothing is groundbreaking. They just have lots of special effects in great set design. So fucking what if I'm bored? I shouldn't say bored. If I'm not impressed. Nobody's impressed. It's like you might say, okay, that was a good episode of Law and Order, but it got kind of wonky toward the end, but it's nothing great. We've seen it before. That's what this is. A bunch of stories we've seen before. We're supposed to be impressed because of the breadth, because it's ambitious. It's not ambitious. And the thing that I hated the most, with everybody different, instead of just having different actors for every role, maybe just a few roles have been played by the same actor. All the roles are played by most of the same actors. There's a core of 12 actors, and they are recycled. And I hate, and they put them in the role that's most opposite from them in real life, so you could see, oh, see, these are real actors, they could play anything. Like the nurse in Jim Broadbent's story, the nurse Ratchet character is played by Hugo Weaving, and what Halle Berry, she mostly plays women, so she's good. Tom Hanks, he of course, he's got to stretch his acting thing. He goes on, he plays a gangster, and another one he plays like a member of a tribe, and fuck him. And this is why it makes me sick. Jim Broadbent's character, he's an older guy. He goes to see his brother, who's supposed to be in his 70s, and his brother's wife, who is flirting with him because they had a thing going on it seems like she's in her 70s. The wife is played by, I forget, the young male actor who played the hero, the male hero in the Blade Runner story. I think it's I think he's played Ben Whishaw, and he's a man. He's playing the woman. Then they have a young man playing an old man, and Ben Whishaw is a young man playing an old woman, and they put cakes and cakes of makeup on. If you saw Prometheus, complaint about that movie was, and I'm trying to think of his name. Why is his name escaping me? The younger actor, he's in his 40s, Guy Pearce. He plays a man who's in his 80s, 70s, 80s, and they cake makeup on him. And they could have got an actor in their 80s to play that character, in his 80s to play that character, because Guy Pearce only plays the 80-year-old man. He doesn't play a younger version of him. So there's no reason to have a young man with makeup caked on his face. They could have had an old man playing that part. And not only that, the reason why you avoid that is because it looks fake as fuck. It's never going to look real when you put that fucking much makeup on somebody, unless you're the very few makeup artists can do that. And that's what this movie looks like. You see a bunch of people with caked makeup on their faces and fake hair and stuff. And it's just so fake. They should have just went with different actors who looked the part. And here's an example of that. When they go to, at the end, they show you all, you're supposed to be impressed because, oh my gosh, he played her and she played him and what? But yes, you don't know who's under that makeup. You didn't know that it was the man, that boy playing the woman, only because he got so much goddamn makeup on. You still know it's a man underneath the makeup. You just didn't know it was him because they caked him with makeup. That's not impressive. And one example is they show an Asian man. There was one scene where they had an Asian man who's there for about, on screen for about 20 seconds. And a old Asian man. At the end of credits, you find out, and I can't remember her name. You know who, Tim Robbins' ex-wife from Thelma and Louise, Susan Sarandon. It's her playing an old Asian man. Now, I didn't know that was her kicked up under that makeup, but I knew that it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't an old Asian man. I knew it was a woman under cakes and layers of makeup. It's not because her acting was so well, it's because she has 27 pounds of makeup on her face alone, and it looked freaky, it looked weird, and it sucks. It doesn't mean that you stretch as an actor because they put tons of makeup on you. The stories are trite. It gets a 1.5 stars from me. And that's mostly because of the look of the film. And not the way the actors look under all that goddamn makeup. But you know what? 1 star. Cloud Atlas. Because it doesn't try. Fuck that movie. I have to give it a 1 star for a little bit of effort. I mean, I have to get her 1 star for this because I liked the way the 1970s San Francisco story that's supposed to be. Basically, it's the story of Silkwood. It's just done. It looks like so 1970s, and Halle Berry was fine as hell in that motherfucking segment. God damn. I like the 70s, that Farrah Fawcett feathered hair look on Halle Berry. It was, god damn, that's a fine looking one. Damn. That's a fine woman. This has been Zoom. 1 star for Cloud Atlas. 3.5 stars for Host. And I wanted to give that movie higher than that, but it's too long. This has been, I know I went on too long about this. Way too long about this. 24 minutes. God damn. I talked too long about this. 24 fucking minutes. This show is supposed to be no longer than 15. 5 to 10 to 15 minutes. Dang. Anyway. Movie A Day podcast. See you tomorrow. Peace. No, I got more to say. First of all, the young man who, and there's a connection in the movie because a lot of the couples in the story, the two two actors who played couples throughout the stories ended up together. Like Ben Whishaw and Duna Bay were couples in like two or three of the stories. Halle Berry and Tom Hanks were couples in most of the stories because this thing where, oh, they were meant to be together, you know, due time. And if we're not together in this lifetime, we'll be together in the next lifetime. Oh my gosh. Fuck you. Anyway, she's doing a base, obviously an Asian woman, straight up Asian. She ain't that good looking either. She looked better in The Host. In The Host, they did the right thing. She was a little younger, plus they did the right thing with not showing her face straight on. This movie, they make the mistake of showing her face straight on. Anyway, the point is, she's straight up Asian. At the end of the movie, it goes back in time to the white man who renounced his, the white man in the 1800s, who renounced his dad's racism. And at the end, he just wanted to get home to his wife. He did this traveling. He traveled with this black man on a ship, on a pirate ship or some shit. And there was a battle. There was death. There was destruction. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And he finally makes it home. And his dad is like, yes, son, you'll be a racist like me. And we can own some slaves. He's like, fuck you, dad. And he, fuck you, man. And he walks out and he says, sees his wife, finally his wife. Because they're all white. His wife is a blonde, that blonde, beautiful white woman, supposedly. But it's Duna Bay. She's playing a blonde woman with green eyes. A white woman. And it takes you out of it. Because that's a weird looking white woman. An Asian woman. Basically, it's an Asian woman with all kinds of blonde hair. She's dressing like a Southern belle. And she has blue or green eyes, one of those. And they just try to make her believe, oh, she's a white woman, because they had to make that connection where their characters were in the story together and they didn't get to live their life together in that other story in the future. They are, you know, they're taken apart from each other or their lives and young or whatever. But in this lifetime, they're together. They wanted to make that point, but it's like, oh, I'm not out of the story now. That bitch don't look white. And they put freckles on her too. And Susan Sarandon really sat there for 4 hours of makeup or whatever just to be an Asian man, because you know it took him about 4 or 5 hours to do that, just so she can do the Asian man for 3 minutes in the film. Of course, she probably was sitting on a set all day or whatever, but 3 minutes, really? Is that, that's the name of this movie, the subtitle is Long Way to Make a Fucking Point. As a matter of fact, same thing for The Host. Long Way, you had your point made to the movie The Host in an hour and a half, but then you had to go that extra half hour to make your point. Just like fucking King Kong, the remake, not the original. They went too far. They made a movie like 3 hours long when it should have been an hour and a motherfucking half or hour and 40 minutes. This is the end of the show. Oh, I think one more thing. Oh, Jim Broadbent, his true love was a woman who, in the story where he was an old man, they put him in a nursing home and tried to keep him there. He's obviously in his fucking 70s, pushing 80. But he flashed back to the love of his life when he was 19, about 19, 20. The girl was about the same age in the flashback. Flash forward to the future. He gets to be with the love of his life, and it's Susan Sarandon. With no makeup on, she's playing Susan Sarandon. Susan Sarandon looks about 20 years younger than Jim Broadbent. There's no way they were the same age. That's all I want to say about that. Cloud Atlas, don't recommend it. I would say if you really must see it, because I know you want to see it, people want to see it, so I would rent it. But if there's something else you really want to see at the movies this weekend, and it's up between Cloud Atlas and the other one, I would say go see the other one. But you might disagree with me. You might like this. If you like Forrest Gump, I hated that shit. You might like this shit. If you like Benjamin Button, you might like Cloud Atlas. So there you go with that. And I do recommend the 3.5 stars, probably 3 stars, because it's so long. The Host. That's the end of the show. Damn, 30 minutes. I'm out. Peace.